The Process, a podcast about creativity and experimental music. In the world of experimental music, outcomes and accolades for creators can be uncertain and at times seem far and few between. Therefore, creators and practitioners of experimental music must embrace the one thing they will always have complete control over, the process. This podcast aims to understand this creative process by listening to new works and discussing them with their creators. Each episode focuses on one creator and their music. Understanding how and why they create can inform aspiring creatives and help audiences better understand and navigate experimental music. I'm Dr. Doug Bielmeyer, and I'll be your host as we explore the world of experimental music, creativity, and the human need to find purpose in their world and lives. This is The Process. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to The Process. I'm Doug Bielmeyer, and I lied. If you had listened to the last episode of season four, I said goodbye, and that was a lie. There's more episodes. It's going to be a little bit different format. First of all, we're going to have guest hosts, so it won't be me asking the questions, sort of yammering on as I often do. It will be guest hosts and some of my favorite friends slash collaborators slash fellow colleagues, musicians are coming on the show to talk to me about my new release on New Focus Recordings, Music for Billionaires. And each guest host is going to talk about a different song or a different track from the album. Today, we're going to talk to the amazing Alison Tannenhaus about Corporate Responsibility Pledge, and specifically our collaboration. If you don't know, it's not only a track on the album, but it's also a multimedia work that Alison and I put together pretty much over the last few years for the Unheard of Ensemble, and it's been part of many other sort of film festivals and other venues as well. We'll also talk to Alison about the amazing Glitchcraft. Glitchcraft is running all September and in through October till the 20th. I just checked out the opening reception last night. It was an amazing mix of lo-fi, hi-fi, nostalgia, glitch, art projections, hardware. You can check out the show. It's at the Trussman Art Gallery all this September and October. Go and check out the show and stay tuned for more information about the closing ceremony in which Violet Knox will be performing. So let's take a listen to my collaboration with Alison Tannenhaus on Corporate Responsibility Pledge, part of Music for Billionaires, released everywhere on October 27th on New Focus Recordings, available now for pre-order on Bandcamp. We'll be right back.
I am Allison Tenenhouse. I am a digital glitch video artist, sometimes different variations of those words in different combinations. Sometimes I'm just a digital artist. Sometimes I'm just a video artist. Sometimes all of them, which basically means that I take source material, whether that's my own photographs or videos, previous work that I've done, public domain, or in the case of your podcast logo, a lovely portrait of you. And I run it through different apps on my iPhone, sometimes in a daisy chain of them, sometimes just one, sometimes my own secret recipes, sometimes some presets that I like to tweak. And I create trippy, psychedelic, colorful, error-laden glitch art where I'm embracing the mistakes and kind of like seeing what emerges. I go into it kind of having an idea of what I want to do, but it's always more fun when on the other end I'm surprised and delighted. And hopefully in the case of a commission, the client is too. But I do a mix of private stuff, whether it's portraiture or interior design. I've done some stuff for hotels, building wraps, public art installations that involve video, gallery installations, and music videos and VJing have been kind of where I've mostly been lately. The intersection of music with the video has been a really awesome sweet spot where my work can kind of have a flow to it and a narrative and an interplay. And given that the work that I do is already a collaboration just by virtue of how it's created, where it's me and the machine, bringing in additional disciplines can really enrich it and bring out new dimensions and make cool new work that elevates everybody. So we're going to listen to Corporate Responsibility Pledge from Music for Billionaires. Hopefully I'm, as a plebe, allowed to listen to it, despite it not being created for me to enjoy. And this is an interesting piece because I've heard it, I think, in like every iteration. There was the initial version that was kind of like your rough draft that was instructional more for the Unheard of Ensemble to play it. Then you had, that was like the MIDI version.
Right.
Then you had them doing their recorded version. I think they had a live version. And then maybe you did one more version and then this version that's on the album. And then there's also like a West Coast remix or something.
Yes.
Later. Am I correct in that?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's had so many different flavors to it. And so it's really been an interesting journey because I was developing the video based on the MIDI thing. And then I heard the live one. And then I'm kind of like noticing these new synchronizations, like new meanings kind of developed from it. And then each time it just keeps getting better. And the most recent version that I heard, it had like, I was like, oh, I love that cello. Like you just kind of like went all out. And it was really cool to see, to be part of the process, to come along for the process, both on the musical side as well as the video side. So, because as I was piecing it together, I was syncing it up with your art, with your music. And then you were coming back to me and you're like, oh, this piece is, this area is more about this. Like we kind of, I feel like we kind of like found our way through it together. I hadn't listened to it or watched it in maybe like a couple years or at least a year, I think. And then I heard the most recent version and I was like, damn, this just got better with age. And then I realized it's new entirely. So it's just different. But I love what you did with it. And I'm curious to hear kind of like how you developed it in the beginning, how my visuals, like, did they inform anything, or was it more like how did we play off each other?
And yeah, you know, I think the original concept was me just writing a minimalist piece, like just something really simple. And I had been messing around with it for a while and, you know, didn't really have any, there was no deadline, right? We talk about deadlines and events. And so there was no deadline for it. So I was just kind of like, okay, I have this thing and it's like 70% done. And then there was this call from the Unheard of Ensemble for, you know, a mixed media work. So a work that would be for the ensemble. So for cello, piano, violin, and clarinet, but there had to be a strong visual component. And I think at that point we had worked, I'm not sure what we had done at that point because we've done so much. And like I was saying earlier, or I had mentioned earlier, I think before we were recording, that like I think 90% of all the album art that you see on any of my albums or really any of the theme for the podcast, you know, this is all Allison's fantastic, glitchy sort of infomercially referential to marketing. There's just like so many like layers. It's so cool. That I was like, oh, well, this minimalist thing, if I really did this in this like really kind of rough and glitchy way, I'm like, I think Allison would like create this really cool thing to go along with it. And so sure enough, we like submitted our proposal, I think, or whatever. And they were like, great, go and do it. So like now I had a deadline and I was like, let's do this. And so I wrote the piece and I kept finding myself being like, no, dumber. I just kept saying to myself, like, dumber. No, don't have like an extra harmony in here. Don't have this other, you know, thing going on, this counter rhythm. Have everyone in unison, have it really be straightforward. And even the way I was processing like the electronic part, like the non-instruments, I was like, okay, let me do that in a not safe way. Or you were saying like embrace the fuck ups, right? Embrace yeah. like the error. You know, like the cool thing about AI and AI imagery now is that the hands are weird, you know, like there's anomalies.
We can do AI talk for so long, but, right. but yeah. What I'm most drawn to and why I'm doing a lot of it right now before it gets good, before it gets like, right. is like, I want that dementedness. Like as soon as it starts to look too natural, it's boring, it's too polished. Like you want to keep that little morsel of like organic weirdness. That's like always what I like need is like my through line personally.
Yeah. And there's this like history of errors like throughout. So you have like analog errors, like distortion and things like that.
And like light leaks and
yeah. And you have it, you know, visual and in music and in just production. And so like, I feel like AI and like weird hands or like, you know, like weird angles and stuff like that, that happen. That's sort of like our current sort of, sort of mistakes or these things that we have. So anyways, like I was trying to make a glitchy track because I figured whatever you did was going to be, you know, in the style that you do. And we had talked a bunch about it, right? We had talked about the concept and we were like, okay, you know, let's have the visuals be, you know, found footage, but sort of archival.
It's public domain.
Public domain.
Yeah, and I remember it was really interesting juxtaposition of like, and this is even present in your music, of the stuff that's like really syncopated and like really fast and multiple layers and kind of interweaving in and out, and that's where there's kind of more like urban and like industrial elements of things like mechanized and going fast and modern, and then there are these more like sweeping parts that are really beautiful where I kind of have nature footage where it's like a little bit quieter, kind of more contemplative, but at the same time the way that I glitched it, like everyone's like, oh, I love that acid sequence. It's like, that's water, guys.
So
I think there was like this really cool interplay with even just the way that you approach the different sections of the music. And then the material that I picked that I, at least in my intended to create these contrasts of like, here is the action. And then here's the reaction, or like, here's the two zones that are supposed to be in harmony, but yeah. clash at different points, and other times are kind of like more escapist, polluted, but yet, and there's even some stuff from like, you know, like this ocean is polluted right now. And that's from like the 50s or 60s.
Right, right. And so, not just a headline from, you know, last week's news where there was some type of
right, yeah. So there's, I think that's, yeah, watching it again, I was like, when I was working on it initially, I was so into like the retroness of it. But then I think what's sad is just how it's still relevant and like contemporary it feels at the same time.
So after seeing your video, I was like, oh, it was.
I got to step it up.
Yeah. No, it really was. It was really? Inspirational. I was like, holy shit, this just tells a whole story. And I'm like, now this is like this really short kind of film narrative thing. And I'm like, okay, so that inspired me to be like, okay, let me work with the ensemble. Let me get the right recording. And of course, as you said, this took multiple years to do. So it was like, going back and re-recording with Unheard Of and doing a lot of versions. Because, you know, one of the things I really noticed is you had such these great big moments in the piece visually where there was this like huge contrast or you'd flash a word so it would really accent a certain downbeat. There's one really beautiful one towards the end in that third part where I think it's like an oil is, are they spilling, not oil, but they're spilling like molten steel or something. Mm-hmm. It's like that urn. And the way you just like, it hits and then it zooms out to this like tree or this forest or whatever. It's kind of like
the waterfall kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's, so yeah, you see the waterfall, but then it's the pouring of the steel. It's beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, so thank like, you.
So like that moment I was like, it's a big moment now, but I'm like, I was like, it's got to be even bigger. So I think in the final album version that people will hear, I threw away the whole idea of like, okay, well, this is a live ensemble in a real world situation performing. I said, that's the live performance. And instead I was like, you know what? Like, the sky's the limit. Like, let's make this as kind of, you know, limitless as the video is. And so like, that's why, like, I think you said too, you like heard the cello a lot more later on. And it was like, there was a lot of low end and there was a lot of other things that basically.
It was just like a lot like richer that I felt like more dimensional. And even it's funny you said, like, it just clicked for me, like saying it was like a short film. Like I had sort of thought of it as like, you made a song and I made a video together. Yeah. It's a music video. Watching again with your renewed music. I was like, this is a soundtrack. This is a film. This is a like. Very it's like it just became even more collaborative, just as it just like adhered together better, more adhesion or something. It just I felt like we just kept getting it better and kind of like deeper as we went.
The other thing is too, the great thing about the piece is it's been performed so many times and in different versions. So it's been performed without the video, but maybe only like once. So it always is being played with the video. It was even played, in Gowanus in the...
I love that canal setting.
Yeah. Because then it just adds another layer to...
I know. Of, it's like becomes like site specific. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think it's been performed there twice.
We need to go to like a toxic waste site, do it there.
As long as we're wearing like hazmat suits.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, totally.
Yeah. Just not like on a Tuesday in shorts or something, but yeah.
You can wear pants and it can be a Wednesday.
Wear pants, Fitz. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with those terms. Okay. Allison, thanks so much for coming on and being an excellent guest host. I really appreciate it. But before we go, let's talk more about what you're doing. You have a really huge event coming up called Glitchcraft, and you do it annually, right? It's kind of a annual.
We skipped a little. Kind of. So it's kicked off in 2019 at Emerson Contemporary, and this international musician named Doug Bielmeyer, Mr.
Worldwide,
played at the closing party, I believe. So you've been part of the Glitchcraft fam for a while. Absolutely. And then the next year was supposed to go to SNHU, but of course COVID hit, so that was delayed till I think 2022. Then we wanted to have you play again. Mm-hmm. You were too busy. It's okay. I respect your hustle.
Well, you know, all these international gigs, you know.
Should we tell? So I think I was like promoting something that I think they was promoting Mystery Machine that we did together.
Yes.
And someone wrote some comment that was like, wow, Mr. Bielmeyer is very impressive. Lots of international credits. So I was like, hey, we got Mr. International over here.
I just see that meme with who's the Pitbull?
Pitbull.
I see the meme with Pitbull, like Mr. Worldwide.
Worldwide. Yeah. That's basically you. So then we did SNHU, and then now we're at Simmons, and it kind of, it evolves. I think the SNHU show was a little bit more of a direct translation from the Emerson one, but in the year, even just the year, I mean, this is kind of similar to how you approach the music, is that my art interests and skills are evolving. I often collaborate with them. My shows are like group shows. So I like to do different kinds of interplay of either our stuff bouncing off each other, we're physically doing a piece together. And all, you know, we're just developing as artists. So it's like, there's never quite the same show twice, even if we intend it to, just because we're different people. So the next edition of Glitchcraft, Alice Tannenhouse and Friends, is at Trussman Art Gallery at Simmons University. The show runs September 4th through October 20th. At Simmons, the specific address is 300 The Fenway, Boston, Mass. 02115, on the fourth floor of the main college building. The show is free, open to the public, wheelchair accessible. We have an open-in reception Thursday, September 14th, 5 to 8 p.m., DJing by Vibe Check. We're a very cool local collective. And we also have a closing reception if you can't make the opening, or you made the opening and you just can't get enough of it. Thursday, October 19th, 5 to 8 p.m., DJs include Jay Baggus, one of the artists in the show, and Sam Correa, as well as live music by Violet Knox. And the gallery hours, regardless of the receptions, are Monday and Tuesday, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Wednesday and Thursday, 10 to 7 p.m. They added on the Wednesday late hours to be more accommodating, and because so much of the show functions well in low light because it's all light-based. And Fridays, 10 to 4:30. And yeah, it's free. There's going to be cool swag. The show itself is really multidisciplinary. It kind of takes past Glitchcraft work as well as House Party, which has been my other group show that I've been doing at more. The way that I sort of, the taxonomy is like Glitchcraft is at educational institutions where there's, you know, artist talks and workshops and other kind of educational components. And then House Party is more of just like fun for fun's sake. And that's at like indie venues. Like the last one was Machines at Magnets in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And the first one was at Installation Space in North Adams. And yeah, there's going to be stickers, tote bags, art prints, lots of local artists who are involved in this. TV sculptures and styrofoam constructions. And there's going to be a blacklight grotto with screen prints featuring collected elements from different artists. It's just going to be, I think personally, quite dazzling and interesting. Fun for people who are fans of digital art, or people who just want to see something escapist or cool, people who are into old technology, into future technology. There's, I think it's the debut. It's like the big debut of like the art that I've been doing with AI. The last House Party had a little bit of it, but I really busted it out for this whole section where I have an old slide projector that has like my AI that looks more photographic. And then there's canvases of stuff that looks more painted. And it's all kind of like retro, nostalgic kind of stuff,
but
kind of vibe.
It's AI, so you know it's not.
Exactly.
Old.
So yeah, the goal is to kind of mess with your head, as I like to do, where it looks like it's like these. So there's a bunch of cool AI accounts that I follow, and one of them is called Manufactured Memory. And so I don't want to steal that phrase, but it's so good. So homage to them. So it kind of tricks your brain to thinking like this is from how many years ago, but actually it's new. I mean, I think that retrofuturism is something that's really, that really intrigues me. And it connects directly to the video that we did together where we're taking retro material and then kind of like recontextualizing it and adding technology and processes and meaning to it with a modern spin. So I think that definitely is like a fun thread to explore.
Thanks to Allison for coming on the show today and talking a little bit about our collaboration on Corporate Responsibility Pledge, part of Music for Billionaires, released everywhere on New Focus Recordings on October 27th. Be also sure to check out Glitchcraft, running all September and October. A special event coming up is the closing reception on Thursday, October 19th from 5 to 8 p.m., there's going to be DJs and live music, including Jay Baggus, Sam Correa, and the one and only Violet Knox. If you enjoyed this episode, stay tuned because there's more about the album, more about me, and more great guest hosts.